Lottie, and welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon Podcast. I hope you are doing well and having a good May. Do you like May? I can't think of someone not liking May, but maybe it's because it's my favourite month. I love May. I've always loved May. May, to me, is like the best month in England. It's when the weather seems to be the best, and I like it the most here too in America, I think. It's like a really nice mix. You get rain, you get some storms, you get sunshine, the weather's not too hot yet, but it's not usually super cold all the time. And yeah, everything is green and like coming to life, and there's flowers, and like my favorite flowers come out. I love primroses. They're my favorite wildflower, and they are all over the place at the moment. All the fields and hills are like alive with buttercups and all kinds of flowers and colors, and I just love it. So I hope that you are having a good May. Today what I wanted to talk about is practical interpretations of tarot and how to use them in a reading, in a particularly practical reading, or ways to make your readings more practical, I guess you could look at it that way. Let me start with this so I don't forget and then have to put it right at the end like I did last time. You can find me on Instagram, The Sacred Cocoon, on Etsy, The Sacred Cocoon, and also on Ko-fi. That's where I'm having community at the moment. It's kind of like my version of Patreon. I really like it. You can come over there, you can leave a tip if you want to, which is $3. I'm going to be working on having exclusive things over there. There isn't anything exclusive right now, all the posts are open, but I will be having things like releasing printable decks for you, which is usually going to be decks that I have created, but logistically, price wise or something, it didn't work out to release them, just didn't make sense. So this will be a way for you to access free or very low cost printables. I'll probably be doing them at like $3, or you can pay more if you want to. But they'll be downloadable, printable decks that you can use. So that will be on Ko-fi. It's also where I'm keeping kind of blog. And I'm open to ideas too of like things that will be for the community if you want to get that bit more set up. But yeah, please join me over there if you want to. It is also The Sacred Cocoon, because that's my business name, so it makes sense, right? Anyway, okay, let's go ahead and, well, let me just say as well, you can book readings with me in my shop. You can DM me for that. You can come see me at the Four of Wands on Fridays. Which is in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Okay, I think I've done everything now. Let's get into it. I tend to waffle in these parts too much. So let's get into the reading itself. So I sometimes get, well, people ask me, like, how do you make a reading applicable? Like, how do you make a reading feel like it's actually giving you useful information, right? Because I think you can read the cards, or you can, I mean, whatever you want to use, divination, but that's what I'm most familiar with is tarot and oracle and things like that. You can read the cards, but if you can't make the information down to earth and make sense, a lot of people are going to get lost with it, because they're not looking for necessarily like, how do I, you know, I don't know, spiritually evolve, or like, not that there's anything wrong with that question, but like, a lot of people are asking, you know, what's going on with my love life, what am I gonna, you know, what work should I look at, how am I going to do at school? You know, what should I be aware of in that? Even things like, what do I need to know? That's like a really popular thing that I offer, is a what do I need to know reading, where you really just let whatever come through. But you still need to find a way to make that like down to earth and bring it down to earth. Because otherwise, if it's too ungrounded, and what I mean by that is, if you're talking a lot about like, oh, spiritually, you're in this stage, and so you are having these kind of things come up in your life, you know, if you can't make that applicable to what's going on for them right now, and like, how do I use this information, so like, how do I, you know, do something about that issue, how do I lean into that strength that I have, how do I, what do I do with this information? If you can't get that kind of thing out of it, what I've noticed is people will tend to be like, well, that's, I appreciate it, but it's kind of vague. And let me also say, sometimes when people say something is vague, that's not about you. Or it's not just about you. I've noticed this, that sometimes if someone comes in to me and they don't have a specific query, they're just finger quotes, just curious, then what they're really looking for is just an experience of having a reading. And it's important to kind of convey that, to say, you know, if you don't have a question, that's fine, but I'm just going to put this out there that it might be a little bit general, or it might be, you know, not as specific as you like. If you want it to be specific, you need to give me a specific focus, give me a specific question, because otherwise I'm just reaching into the bag of the universe and pulling out whatever comes up, and it might not be something you care about, you know. So if it's vague, it's not necessarily that it's your skill, but sometimes it might be, you know, and it's okay if that's the case. You know, we keep learning and we keep growing, and you know, don't take it personally, which is hard. I'm not saying, I take it personally sometimes if someone says to me, like, yeah, that's really vague. I'm like, well, that hurt my feelings, you know, but I try and, like, take a step back and be like, well, what do they mean? You know, what do they mean by it's vague? Like, what could I do to make that better, to mitigate that issue? And sometimes it's talking to them about, well, what are you looking for? What do you want, you know? And let people that don't necessarily click with you straight away, give them the opportunity to see if you figure out, like, what are they actually looking for. Sometimes they do have a specific question, you just need to, like, tease out a bit. Sometimes they have an idea of divination and that's just not how it works, and they just need to be told that and say, okay, well, you know, see ya. Good luck finding that in some other way. Or sometimes it's just, you know, helping them figure out the question. But I'm getting off a bit on a tangent there. But anyway, one good thing to do is to learn and to see where you can find how the tarot, or, you know, the method or whatever. I'm going to go with tarot because that's what, again, like I said, what I have the most experience with. Find what the practical applications of that are. What does it mean in a day-to-day sense when certain cards come up, you know? And you can do that with all of them if you want to. But I notice if you have certain ones that you just instantly like, yep, this tends to be this, you know, then you can get where certain cards will come up as like a keystone. They'll be like the place that they sort of anchor the reading into, this is what this is about. And then the rest of the cards, you can go a bit more, you know, expand a bit more out of that and read it in a more, you know, expansive way, and it will make more sense to people. Okay, so with all that said, let's go ahead and talk about some of the cards and how I have found them to come up in readings. And I'll say here too that some of these have come from people that I know, fellow diviners that we've shared, you know, we share our techniques, we share, like, oh, this came up for me and I think it means this. And then the other person will be like, oh yeah, me too, I've been having that a lot lately and I couldn't figure out what it was, you know. So always, I love to share with other people, because you never know, you get wisdom and you get teachings from everyone, I think. We're always learning together in community. Okay, so let's go ahead, shall we? And I will probably put a break in the middle here for the sponsor, because that's where it does better, in the middle. All right, so these are in no particular order. Some of them are, most of them are the minors. One of them that I can think of off the top of my head is major. I've made myself a list so that I'll at least cover these ones, and maybe more if I can think of them. No, two majors. All right, so the first thing I've written down is knights. Now, I have had someone come for a reading with me and then argue with me about what the knights meant, which I was a bit like, okay. But at the same time, you know, whatever, it doesn't bother me. Sometimes people just want to have a discussion about, this is what I think this thing is, you know. And I would always say, also as a bit of an aside, always encourage people, you know. Even if you don't agree with it, you can tell them that in a polite and friendly way, and then you can have a discussion. So what I'm saying here is I view knights as movement, and quite literal movement. I've noticed over and over that they tend to show up when we are moving and we're going somewhere. So moving house is a really good example of knights showing up. They will quite often show up in that sense. They can also show up for moving to a different job. moving to a different country, just going from one place to another. I've noticed that they tend to come up more for physical movement than they do for, say, like moving on emotionally or something, because that seems to get covered more by other cards. Like, for example, if I was looking at, is someone moving on emotionally, I might see something like the Eight of Cups is a really traditional one. The Six of Swords would also be another one, where they're like moving forward. Cups, water, so emotionally. Swords, they're kind of going from like tumultuous water, choppy water, to smooth water, so they're moving forward that way. The Nine of Wands tends to show this as well. But I've noticed that, like, physically, the knights seem to come up more for that, because there's not as many cards that I would read as, like, just more kind of moving forward physically. Maybe like the Chariot would be a big one. You know, if the Chariot comes up, I would probably read that as at least, you know, give it, is it physical movement, because it's a very kinetic card, that one, so it tends to come up for physical movement on a journey. You know, knights do seem to come up for that a lot. And what I'm saying here as well is you can take these cards and then you can also, like, combine them. If, you know, multiple show up in the same reading, you might then get more out of it by looking at which ones have turned up together. Because I've noticed this too, they'll often turn up with each other, or they'll be in certain relationships to each other. Like, one is the, you know, core of the situation and the other one is the crossing card. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get on. But the next would be pages, especially turning up with queens or the empress. I tend to read this as growing the family. Now, some people don't like reading about pregnancy. I actually don't mind. I have a pretty good track record of it. The thing that I do with reading about pregnancies is I talk about... you know, it's not, this is always true for readings, but I especially emphasize it in things like this. I am not telling you to go home and build your nursery right now. I'm telling you, maybe go home and take a pregnancy test, you know, maybe go home and be a bit careful if you know, you're not wanting to have a baby or something like that. You know, make it clear to people that these things change, it's not set in stone. One, legally, for, you know, legal reasons, I'm not giving medical advice. I'm not saying you are definitely pregnant or that you will definitely be pregnant or whatever. But I have noticed that if pages turn up with queens and or the empress, you at least need to give them a warning. You know, be careful. Watch out for it, because that might be what's happening. And I've had multiple cases where that is the case. Either they were pregnant at the time, they didn't know yet, or they became pregnant soon after. Sometimes I've had it where I've gotten the timing as well. I'll be like, well, in this month, you know, it looks like you might, that might be happening around in spring or in this month, whatever. And I've had them go back months later and say, yep, that was true. So that is something that you can look at. I would also say with this, something that I have noticed recently, the Five of Cups, if it comes up and it is in any way related to someone who's thinking of having a baby, they want to have a baby, they are asking about family, should I have a baby, you know, anything like that, I have noticed the Five of Cups tends to come up for miscarriage or difficulty conceiving. More often than not, it's been miscarriage, but it can also be just struggle conceiving, or if they deal with postpartum depression, especially if they already have a kid, you know, if they already have children and they're thinking about having another one, the Five might come up for fears around pregnancy. But I have noticed it quite often for miscarriage, and there, you know, use your discretion. But I would say that hopefully if you're doing reading, it's in a safe container anyway, and I like to just gently bring it up, you know, because if it's turning up in the reading, I find it's something that they need to talk about, and they might just need someone to acknowledge it, you know, and to give them the space to grieve about it with someone else, what I say about it usually is, okay, I'm picking up something here, and you absolutely do not have to tell me. If you don't want to, that's completely fine. But have you had a miscarriage, or have you had difficulties with conceiving in the past? And, you know, then if they want to, they can say, I don't really want to talk about that. That's completely fine. If that is the case, you need to stick to your word and move on. Like, okay, let's just keep going, you know. But usually I have found that they will talk about it, and it gives them a space to either talk about something that they have experienced, something that they're afraid of, and you can get further insight into that then, you know. You can talk more about that. You can also give them resources. Do you have support for that? Is there anything that you feel like you need that I could help you to find a number to call, a group to go to, you know? I think that as a reader, it's our responsibility. Like, we are taking care of the person when they are in our room. They're not our responsibility. Like, we're not taking on their whole life, you know, but we are responsible for them when they're in that room, and we are responsible for their care. We are taking care of them, and we need to provide them with empathetic and sympathetic support. And we need to, if that requires giving them a number to, hey, please call this line, you know, please go to this place, they will help you, or they can help you, you know. Yeah, please do that. You know, don't just do the reading and then be like, well, okay, see ya, because readings can bring up a lot. And I think a good reading where you feel good about it, but they also feel like they got something really good out of it, does tend to go into some pretty deep places, and those can be painful, you know. So if that comes up as well, you know, pay attention to it. Let's cover strengths next, because we just talked about the Empress a little bit. although I will say as well, Empress can be, if they're wanting to have a family but they're not pregnant yet, the Empress can turn up as, you know, pay attention to yourself, get you know, track your cycles, really take care of yourself, make sure you're taking your you know, vitamins and doing all the preparation for that, because the Empress is like the Taurus, very physical vessel kind of thing, you know. So you want to be in a good spot for it. Okay, let's talk about strength next, and then I think I'll go to the break, and then I'll come back and talk about the other ones. So strength, and this is one that I learned from a old friend of mine. She said that strength came up for her in readings for people a lot when they were going through mental health concerns, or they were having like a flare up of some kind of mental health you know, issue going on. She said she got it a lot of people were not taking their medication, and they, you know, needed to, or if someone needs to go and see a therapist, something like that. I've noticed that it also can turn up for that. Not always, you know, but if it does come up, and especially if it comes up with things like the Nine of Swords, Ten of Swords, any swords, but yeah, you know, swords I read is the air, so they're all to do with like mental energy and thoughts, ideas. Also, that's where all worry tends to come up a lot. Fear, you know, if that happens, you know, point that out. Do you need to, you know, do you feel like you need to see a therapist? Are you already seeing a therapist? Can I give you this number, you know, to call? At this, I would say also, I refer people to the suicide hotline quite a few times. Sometimes because they are feeling suicidal, and sometimes they're not. They're just having a really rough time. And I'll tell people, you don't need to be actively suicidal. You don't need to be like, I'm going to do this, in order to call them. They are not going to judge you if you call them and say, I'm having a really hard time, I need some help, don't know where to go. What they do is they mirror the call to the closest local place to the caller, and then they can give you resources of like who are good to go to in that area, like what therapists are there in that area, what resources are there in that area. So if you feel out of your depth, you know, we are not mental health professionals, And even if you are, you're probably not combining it with tarot. We are a spiritual space, a space for someone to come and talk, but they might tell you things like that. And some people, they, for whatever reason, they don't feel they can go to a therapist, they don't feel comfortable, they don't feel they can talk to someone. The suicide hotline is completely anonymous. You don't have to tell them your name. You don't, you know, they know where you are in terms of area, but they don't know where your house is, as far as I'm aware. So, you know, giving them that resource, if I say, if in doubt, give it, because, you know, if they don't need it, that's fine. And if they do, then you gave it, you know, because some things people need outside help, but they just don't know how to get it. They don't know how to find it. If you know, keep your resources on hand, because you can be a good resource for, you know, please get some help outside of me. Here's how you can do it, you know. Okay, so I'm gonna go to the ad break now, and then after that we'll come back and talk about a few more cards. All right. Going to talk about a few more cards, and I've just realized that most of these are pentacles. Pentacle, I mean, I think that makes sense because pentacles is the earth suit, so that's like, you know, I always describe that to people as it's physical, it's your security, it's your stability, it's your work, it's your, you know, it can be the physical aspects of relationships, it's money, all that kind of thing. So, you know, thinking of practically applying the cards would make sense that we get pentacles. But anyway, before we get into pentacles, let's talk about the Four of Cups. Now, I heard someone, and I wish I could remember who it was that told me this, call the Four of Cups the he's not that into you card. And it does seem to be true. I wouldn't say it that way because I think that sounds harsh. that's not how I read. But that's the energy of this card. I've noticed that this card will turn up usually in relationship readings where people are saying, what do they think of me? How do they feel about me? Is this a good, you know, is there a chance for a relationship here? Is it, you know, whatever. Romantic, they're interested and want to know about this person or want to know about, you know, the energy of the situation. Four of Cups, basically no. They're not interested in them as a romantic partner. And the reason I have found this to be true is because the person in the Four of Cups is sitting there and they've got their arms crossed and their legs crossed. And, well, I don't know if their arms are crossed. I think they are. I call it the sulking in the corner card. They're not interested. They're not looking, right? And then you've got like the cups in front of them and also the cup being handed to them, and it looks like the Ace of Cups. And if the Ace of Cups comes up, that's generally, to me, I read that as particularly pertaining to love and relationships, not necessarily always a romantic relationship, but, you know, relationships at least. And if they are talking about a romantic relationship, then the Ace of Cups coming up, I would read as a romantic potential, something's happening. But if the Four of Cups comes up, the best thing to do, I find, is to gently say, no, not with this person. It doesn't feel like they are feeling that kind of connection with you. You know, it might be that they are more just interested in being friends with you. You have a good connection that way. But I would say I wouldn't pursue a romantic kind of connection with them because I'm just not seeing that reciprocated, you know. And really go into that as like, you know, you don't want to be with someone who is not fully in it with you. And that's what the Four of Cups is. It's I'm not participating. I'm not taking part. You want to be with someone who is, wants to be in that relationship. So, you know, keep looking or direct your attention somewhere else, because there's someone out there for you. You know, and but it might not be this, it's probably not this person. You might see this with exes come up as well. You know, are they thinking of me? Will we reunite? Will we get back together? Four of Cups? No, probably not. Because they're just not feeling that way anymore. The Four of Cups I also sometimes read as you need to take a kind of step back and meditate on it. You know, think about it. But more than think about it, feel about it. You know, step back and see how do you actually feel about this, because that's going to tell you what to do. And if you're feeling like, no, I don't want to do this, no, whatever it is, not necessarily a relationship, but then that's your answer. Don't do it, you know. Trust the feelings is the Four of Cups kind of thing. Okay, so next let's talk about the Pentacles. So the Three of Pentacles, we're going to go in numerical order here. So Three of Pentacles, my good friend Red Star, I absolutely love her to bits and pieces. She also works with me at the Four of Wands, and if you ever get a chance to get a reading with her, or just meet her, just I love her. She's like, I call her my little dandelion, because she's got this like puff of white hair. She's been reading tarot for a million years, and the other day we were talking and she said, like, she gave me the best compliment, because she said, you remind me so much of myself that it sometimes when we talk it feels like I'm talking to myself. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna take that to my grave. It's like one of the best things I've ever been told, you know. So lucky to have been told that. But yeah, I love her. She is like a little firecracker. She's so funny, such a good reader. Little old lady, love her to death. Okay, so she was the one that turned me onto this. The Three of Pentacles. She said, usually when that comes up in a reading for her, she reads it as that it tends to be about entrepreneurship, self-employment, the person having an opportunity to be their own boss, basically. And I have also found this to be true. If it comes up, it tends to be, you know, look at something where you are working for yourself. You're your own boss. And you know, it's funny because I can't really think of particularly strongly why the Three would be that card, but it is. You know, it's like the people are standing and they're watching. So maybe it's because of the, if you read it more from the image, it's like the other people are standing and watching this one person create something, you know. So it could be like a that you're showing someone your wares, you're showing someone your crafts, your skills, one person building something. So like, here's what my skill is, you know, are you interested? But that does seem to come up a lot for that kind of thing. And what I've noticed with this is it will come up especially if someone either hasn't really thought about it, or they don't have a lot of confidence about doing it. Like, they think it's like, oh, you know, that's just a dream, but I can't really do it, and it's not going to happen. If the Three of Pentacles comes up, really encourage them. Actually, I think you might want to really look at that, because it to me, that's saying this can be a reality, you know. Next, the Five of Pentacles. I can't remember if someone else said this or if I thought this. Honestly, I don't remember where this insight came from, but I started to look at the Five of Pentacles as frozen water. Snow is frozen water, frozen emotions, hard emotions. And because of this, because they're frozen, we can't move through them very easily. They don't flow, they're not moving, and also we can't see where we're going, you know, and they turn into ice and then we slip and fall on them, and it's dangerous and all of that. So the Five of Pentacles I would read traditionally as feeling out in the cold, feeling abandoned, like you don't have any, you know, resources, like you don't know where to go. Often this will come up if people are worrying about money. It could also come up if people have concerns about homelessness, or, you know, things like that. I haven't noticed it come up a lot in that way, and I think I know why. I think it's because if someone has that much, you know, struggle with money, one, they're either not coming for a reading, Or two, if they do come for a reading, I am going to tell them, please don't spend that money on this, you know? I might give them some free advice if I can, but also I try not to get into that habit because, you know, that's not good for you to be giving out energy like that just all over the place. But I would say, you know, if someone is like, literally, they've got $5, you know, probably not going to charge $5 for a reading, but I don't know. But take, for example, if they've got $5 and they have a choice between eating that day and having a reading with you, please do not take that money. That I would find unethical and unscrupulous. You know, you need to, again, this comes back to community caring. We're not just looking out for ourselves. We are, if that person comes into that room, whether or not we're going to sit down and read for them or we don't connect with them or whatever, it is our responsibility to be, you know, be smart about it and look out for them. And if that includes, please don't spend this money here, please go get yourself some food, you need to say that. Some people will, you know, you might think, well, I'll never be in that situation. I have been in that situation. I've had someone come and say, you know, I don't actually have anywhere to go, but I need some help. And I said, well, then I'm not going to take your money. And also, I don't think tarot is really what's going to help most immediately right now. Here's a number for a local food bank. Here's some, you know, here's a homeless shelter. Here's some other resources and numbers. And I'm going to give you that. And you're not going to give me anything back because I don't want it. Please take it, you know, and use that information. Don't take their money. But, you know, just in case, you might get that more coming up around fears too, especially say if someone's like about to leave a job and they're going into something, but it's really new to them, or that they've got fears around security, it might come up. It might not mean that they're going to have no money, you know, like it can show it that, yeah, you're going to be a bit tight with money for a bit or something. But like, I usually don't see it to that extent where it's like, you know, that's severe, but just keep an eye out that can, you know, that could come up. But usually I'll find that it's where someone is just emotionally very frozen up. They're scared. They feel, you know, unsupported. And that is also can be a good place to bring up, you know, hotlines if you need to, or, you know, do you need some other kind of support? I've also noticed this will sometimes come up with people who just are not open to being read. Because someone can come into your reading room and sit down and be like, do me a reading. But if they've got their arms crossed and they're scowling at you and, you know, they're just like, they won't give you any information at all. You know, if they do that thing where it's like, well, you're the psychic, you know, then they're not down to be read. But like, and you can say no to those people. That's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world to say, actually, I can't connect with you. You know, come back another day, or maybe try this other reader, or whatever, you know. But sometimes you'll get people and they'll sit down and they won't give you any like outward indication that they don't want to be read, or that they're really, you know, not sure about it. But if you get the Five of Pentacles along with either like a lot of Swords stuff, like especially the King or Queen of Swords, you know, that kind of thing, you might consider, just think about, are you actually able to connect with them? And if you're not, just end it quickly. You know, don't spend time. Here's what I say to people. It's like, if I can't seem to connect, I want to end the reading right here and now, and I won't charge you anything. If you want to stay and talk about it, that's fine. But then I am going to charge you, because, you know, it's taking time whether or not you're having a reading. You know, stick to boundaries. Have boundaries. You know, you can say either, I can't do this right now, and for whatever reason, that's it. See you later. Or, you know, if you do want to stay and talk about it, I'm not going to do a reading, but I'm happy to talk to you, but it's still taking time, so I'm still going to charge my rate, you know. But it can also come up for that. All right, so lastly, the Six of Pentacles. The Six of Pentacles I read as give or take, give and take, not give or take. Give and take what we can give and receive in a situation. And what I often say to people in this situation is, you can give and give and give, but the person that you're giving to can only receive as much as they are able to receive. And what I mean there is, like, if you're trying to give someone a lot of love, but they are not in a place where they can receive it, or they don't want to receive that kind of love, or, you know, whatever it is, they're only going to be able to receive a certain amount. They're only going to be able to receive as much as they can actually handle and hold. And you run the risk of making it feel like a lot of pressure to take something that they are not able to take. That, you know, might come up with the Four of Cups. Seems to come up a lot with that. And it's that you're trying to give them all this attention and all this focus and love and whatever, and they're just not able to receive it. You know, they might have some issues, especially if the Six of Pentacles comes up. There might be some issues around security for them. They might not feel safe being in a relationship. They might have some intimacy issues. They might feel unworthy. You know, if you look at the imagery of the Six, and whenever I talk about the imagery, I'm talking about the Rider-Waite-Smith imagery, or you know, clones. But sometimes, if you're trying to give someone something and they don't feel worthy of it, then even them trying to be open to receive it is extremely hard for them. They feel unequal, you know, they feel like you are, like there's an imbalance between you. And also, you know, we do tend to, if we're trying to give someone something, especially in relationships, if we're trying to say, oh, I love you so much and I want to do this with you and I want to have this kind of life, and they're not reciprocating, that very quickly can turn into resentment and, why won't you take this love? Why don't you love me the same amount? You know, and that's not a safe relationship. It's not a place where they will be able to be vulnerable and open and tell you genuinely why, you know, they can't do it. That's an invitation to look at the power dynamics. That's a bit of a different thing, but look at the balance in the relationship and you know, who's giving what and who's receiving what. And I would also say, it tends to come up with the person themselves that's getting the reading needs to pay attention to, do they give and receive? Because in relationships especially, but in, and I mean this not just romantically, but like friendship, work, you know, we're always in relationship with other people, usually, unless we're like alone in our house. But are they able to receive? Because usually I'll find, if I'm doing a reading for someone, they've got the giving down pretty well, it will be the receiving that they are not doing. But the issue then becomes, if you can't receive, you can't give, because you know, what's that thing? It's like you don't have a bottomless well of energy, right? We're living people. We're living beings with moving energy, and we need to give and receive energy back. And if you're not, if you can't receive, like, oh, I don't deserve it, I can only give love, I can only give this, I don't deserve to receive it, I don't deserve to have this person that I, you know, this type of relationship, I have to settle for this, you know, one that doesn't really feel good for me. If you're doing that, you are not allowing the other person to give you back. And then you're going to create all kinds of weird, wonky stuff going on, because the energy has to go somewhere, and if it can't flow, it's gonna get stuck, because it has to come back and forth. So, you know, if you're having, sometimes it will be like, if there's issues with that, it's not just because the other person isn't able to receive or isn't giving, it's that the person that is in the reading trying to give is not able to receive, they're not open to receiving. And what that does is it puts people in a certain box and says, you can only be this because I can only receive this, you know? You can only give me love in this way. And so, or attention, or, you know, you can only give me reciprocal relationship in this way. whatever kind of relationship it is, and it boxes the other person in, and then it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy where we're like, well, I thought I was going to end up in this type of relationship, and I did, you know. It's like, well, you know, maybe that's because that's what you were expecting, not because that's all the other person can give. It just depends. Read the rest of the cards around it. And, I mean, you know, maybe that sounds obvious, but cards don't usually tell a story just on their own if you pull them with other cards. If you pull in a spread, or if you pull multiple cards with each other, they're always talking to each other. They're always a big picture, you know. What does this say about the situation when you read it, not just on its own, but in relation to this other thing? Yeah, so, for example, if you get the Six of Pentacles and the Four of Cups, I would read that someone that is not really interested in the relationship right now because they can't give you what you need. Or they're not the right person to give you what you're actually looking for, so you need to keep moving, you know. If you got the Five of Pentacles and I don't know, the, well, let's look, Five of Pentacles and the Knight of Pentacles, I would say, if I was reading that, is that they are trying to move forward in something, and that they probably are, because the Knight of Pentacles, still movement, it might be slow movement, but it's still movement, is that I would read more as fear, you know, fear of am I going to be okay in this? Am I going to be okay if I move forward in this way, or if I do this thing, do this venture? And then pay attention to, well, what are the other cards? You know, if you get something like the Ten of Swords, maybe not. Or that could be them moving out of a bad situation. And then, you know, then you get, I don't know, the Six of Swords next to it. Well, yeah, that's good. You're moving in a good direction because you're moving towards something that's smoother and going to be better for you. And yeah, you know, the swords in the boat, you still got the pain, and that's okay. It's going to take a while to heal that, but you're going in the right direction. You know, if it's going towards the tower, you need to stop and look right now, you know. Why are you doing that? Why are you going that way? Because it looks like you might hit some issues if you don't, you know. So always look at it in combination with other cards as well. Cards just, they're not usually just on their own, especially with tarot, I found. But yeah, I think that's everything. All right, so I will say here too that I am happy to discuss, you know, if you want to discuss tarot, if you're a reader or any other kind of reader and you want to discuss, I'm happy to do that. I have a service that is specifically for that. If you want to discuss something or you need help with something, but it's not really a reading, that is in my Etsy shop, and it's called like consultation. The image for it is like purple, and it's like psychics, healers, readers, you know, I can't remember exactly what it's called now, but look for the consultation, and I do either 30 minutes or an hour. You can do that. I'm more than happy to do that with you. Yeah, you don't need a reading to come and talk to me or work with me. I also I do spiritual guidance sessions, like you know, if you need help with something, you just don't really know how to do it. Yeah, trying to think of other examples. I can't think off the top of my head, but pretty much I always say to people, you can ask me. If I can't do it, I'll just tell you that I can't do it, and I'll try and help you find someone that can. But you know, don't be afraid to ask me, because if you don't, you know that old thing, if you don't ask, then you don't know. And you might be surprised. All right, so I hope you have a wonderful day. Sending you lots and lots of love. Bye now.